flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
What is up? I'm Pete.
And if you are confused at all, if you're subscribed somewhere,
yeah, stay confused.
Stay confused. And 25, as I always say, we are doing our Comic Book Club movie and TV preview for 2025. So we are also dropping this in Sons of a Gun and Marvel Vision, our DC and Marvel podcast feeds. So you are not subscribed to the wrong thing. We're dropping this a bunch of different places because we're going to be covering all of the big releases from everything comic book, movie, and TV coming out this year, mostly Marvel and DC, though there are a couple of others that are coming out that we're going to touch on. But we're going to go through this in date order, and we're also going to talk about what we're most hyped about over the course of this year. And you guys don't remember what you were hyped about in 2024, but just to give you an idea of how wrong we can be, my number one most hyped at the beginning of 2024 was Joker 2.
Ha ha!
I was wrong about that.
Sure was.
So,
you could be still be hyped on it. That could be your favorite thing you saw.
It certainly wasn't. It definitely wasn't.
That's really funny. I remember when you picked it, I was like, what, Alex? That's so weird because you hated the first Joker. And you were like, well, I believe in this sequel, which is the craziest take, is not liking the first one and then being super psyched for the second
one. Well, I thought it was a big swing and it could have panned out. But I bring this up not to embarrass myself, though it's very embarrassing.
But I like it.
Because Justin and Pete are hiding their embarrassing picks, and I want to embarrass them because they were clearly worse than mine.
Alex, remember that time you said John Carpenter was going to be your...
John Carpenter is a great director. What are you trying to say?
No, I'm saying...
you
up
always
the title.
Say it wrong. It's John Carter from Mars.
John Carter, that's what it was. Yes.
I'm sorry that I had a opinion that I still stick by. It was a good movie. Anyway.
The 2024 official roast of Alex Zeldin has begun.
This is why we're doing this in several podcast feeds. Why don't we get into this? As I mentioned, we're going to be talking about this as we're going through it. We're going to talk about or call out the movie we're most hyped about. I'll remember what I talked about a year from now, and Justin and Pete will be too embarrassed to talk about it. So I think
it's not embarrassed. I wish I could remember.
I don't remember what I said.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
I think all three of us said Joker, too.
No, don't you dare. Don't you dare tie that anchor to our legs. You, sir, are sinking.
You. Yeah. All right. Why don't we get into this, and we'll kick it off with the first comic book TV show of the year, which is Harley Quinn. We are getting season 5 of the series is premiering on Max on January 16th. There's 10 episodes. They're moving the action to Metropolis, so you're going to get some Superman, some Lena Luthor, some Brainiac is going to be in there. Justin, I know you don't really watch the show, but Pete, you're pretty high on it. How are you feeling about the new season?
Very excited. I feel like this is such a great show. DC does such a great job with this. It's hilarious. It's really just killed it from the beginning. It's just such a fun way to see these characters. Joker's kind of losing it on Batman. Like, where's my flying car, Bruce? Like, there's some killer lines in this that still stay with me to this day. My favorite Clayface. This is a great show. I'm glad it's doing well. And it's a great way to start the new year.
Very consistent, right, guys? It's something that just keeps maintaining and keeps coming out on a very timely schedule.
Yes, I think you're absolutely correct about that, and I think that is one of the strengths of it. I'm surprised it's coming back, given everything that is going on with the changes in the DCU and the output from TV. But I think it's great. I think it's okay to have a fun Harley Quinn animated series at the same time as they're building out this DCU with Creature Commandos and other shows. I was not as high on the fourth season of the show as I was on the first three seasons, but I'm hoping that was a little bit of a glitch. We can turn it back. We still got Poison Ivy and Harley, two of the best characters on TV. So excited for
great
all of
Bane,
that.
Too.
Great Bane. Love the Bane. I love the main Bane. He's insane.
Oh, yeah. What? Hit me in the vein with that main vein.
All right, why don't we get to another one, turn it over to a Marvel show, which is your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
And yeah,
we don't actually know how many episodes it is, because Marvel likes to keep that on the DL, but it's coming out January 29th. This is not exactly an MCU show. At least it's not in the main continuity. It is a new, younger Peter Parker who's in high school. He is hanging out with Nico Minoru, Green Goblin, or Norman Osborn, at least, plays by Coleman Domingo, is going to be his mentor. And as shown off in the new trailer, he has some new enemies, has some new costumes. It also has a look that's like mildly inspired by Steve Ditko drawings, which I think is really interesting. But how are you guys feeling about this one?
I really like the vibe of this. Like, you know, we've seen so many iterations of Spider-Man, especially in the animated world, that it's hard to be like, oh, this one's different, and we're making this one different in this way. But I think this one does a good job of having it feel actually different. It feels simultaneously retro, but also pretty current, the way the fluidity of the motion, but the retro drawings. It reminds me a lot of the Hawkeye comic book, sort of in its feel, which is cool. That's a cool place for this to be. I'm still, the Nico inclusion in all Marvel properties right now,
it's not
continues
all
to shock
Marvel
me.
Properties. What else
it's
is she in?
Many.
This and Runaways. What else is she in?
She's in the comic world. She's in the Ultimate X-Men for sort of no reason.
I hate that Nico, bro.
She's in another reboot that we just reviewed in the stack like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, why is she? She's just there. She's just a cool character to be.
Well, why are you
everywhere.
Wearing a shirt that says Nico is Nito right now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm just saying that you're biting off my style. Something that all of my friends and family are like, you don't make any sense. And I'm like, it's my purview to make no sense. Man. But what does make sense is this animated
I've seen
Spider-Man
so
show.
Many ads for this. I thought it was out already. I'm excited to check this out. I don't like the animation style.
Really?
I don't know wow. why. And I feel like such an old man, because it just seems like a lot of the animation we're seeing now on like Netflix and then this has
too
this
fast.
Kind of, it's just this. Looks machine made, very still, clean lines. I like clean lines, but I don't like it to think. I like the fact that humans make things, so I don't know. I feel like you're losing artistic integrity when you just start cranking out animation that is clearly made by a machine. I don't know. I love
you're
cartoons.
You're psyched about the Steamboat Willie reboot. That's coming.
Oh, come on. Let's make it old and racist. No, I just think that, like, I love cartoons. I really feel like it's such a great art form, so I just get sad when, you know, they take a cheap way out where it's like, let's just have machines make it and we don't have to hire people.
I don't know that machines have made this. I think this is actually, well, first of all, machines are drawing a lot of stuff just to automate the process.
First off, we can stop using the word machines. These
yeah,
aren't like,
I know. I
these aren't Terminators.
I felt stupid.
Yeah. These aren't Terminators
Justin
who are drawing
this. Or Alex wants to just kind of appease our AI overlords.
I'm tired of these steam-powered machines taking my jobs. I used to carry coal across America with my bare hands, and now these steam locomotives are taking it.
I mean, I take your point, Pete. I think it's fine to not like it. I think the line I have with machines, quote unquote, is AI, and this does not feel AI generated like that Coca-Cola commercial that's been on every sporting event you've seen lately that is AI generated that does feel bad and feels icky to watch. This just feels like it is made on a computer, which is what basically all animation is made.
I'm pretty hyped for this. I think this is going to be good. I think this seems down to basics with Spider-Man and a lot of fun. I do it's like just, the art style, and I love the fact that it's made by machines.
It's just, you know... I've definitely got Spider-Man origin story fatigue. It's a thing that we've seen a ton of, so I'm not excited about it.
By the way, real
enough.
Quick, Pete, what do you watch TV shows on? You watch them live in person, right?
Yeah, well, I draw them on my little flip book, and then I just flip it in front of my own eyes.
Alex, stop kissing your iPhone in the middle of this podcast.
Yeah,
we get
exactly.
it. You love machines.
Yeah, only thing I like is a zoetrope. You're
take it easy,
around.
Donatello. Let's
that
fucking
horse,
move
it
on.
Jumps, and then it comes back down. All right, what don't we talk about another one here? This is one of our favorites. We have another podcast. We got to cross post this there, I assume. But Invincible Season 3 is coming to Prime Video on February 6th. The big deal here is, unlike previous season, there's not going to be a break. We're going to get all 8 episodes in a row. In fact, I think there's 3 on premiere day leading into the next couple of weeks. And it looks like it's Invincible versus Cecil Stedman. Yeah. Finally, he's going to kill a human being. I can't wait to see it.
I don't know if that's the take. I just think, you know, because we've read the comic book and we know about the turn that happens with him and the Cecil. The Cease and
it's a real Invincible Cecil Seesaw, would you say?
No, I wouldn't say that. But yeah, they're going to go different ways. So I don't know. It's tough sometimes when you have too much knowledge, when you come from the comic books where it's like, yeah, I've seen this story arc.
You're so negative.
Oh my gosh.
Are you not hyped for this?
I am hyped for this. I was hoping it would be different. I was hoping the animated show would go differently, so it wouldn't be so like, oh, I know what's going to happen.
But your opinions are all over the place. You hate when things are different.
Thank you.
Yeah. You love when they stick with the comic book.
I used to think that way. You got to evolve.
You want surprises here?
I want some surprises. I want some different takes. I want some, you know, now that the show has got its own legs, its own world, make different choices in it, you know?
Interesting. I mean, I like the way, because it is pretty faithful to the comic, but there are some some differences they've been able to slide in here, maybe for concision purposes to make it make more sense for the animated form. But I don't know. I've been really enjoying this show.
I love the show.
Wow, you are confusing.
Thank you.
It's very dynamic. It's bloody. It feels like one of the best translations of a comic book to another medium that we've seen in the last few years.
Yeah, and I will say there's things as a fan of the comic book that I was like, oh, cool, he gets the blue suit. So, and I, to be frank, don't get that same feeling from a lot of MCU and DC stuff anymore. So being able to watch a comic book thing and be like, cool.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that feeling back again, which is a little silly, but it's good. Speaking of the MCU, though, why don't we turn to our first comic book movie of the year, Captain America, Brave New World, coming out February 14th. Who are you guys taking as dates to go see Brave New World?
That's none of your business.
Did we not say each other? Oh, God. Now I feel weird. Pete, are you going to sit in another screening in a theater across town when we go together?
Yep, exactly.
Well, great. I hope you guys will be my Valentine to go see this movie, which brings back Sam Wilson, Anthony Mackie as now Captain America, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, Han Solo's in it.
Harrison Ford joins as the Red Hulk. We're getting a lot of other characters there, including characters from The Incredible Hulk. One of the villains they haven't completely showed off yet is Tim Blake Nelson is returning as the leader, Samuel Stearns. We're getting Liv Tyler as Betty Ross. So another stealth Hulk movie. Plus, we're getting Eternal stuff in here with Tiamat, the Celestial.
Who wants that?
So many things are going on here. We have formerly Sabra. Now she is a Black Widow who is unrelated to Israel. Lots of stuff going on in this movie. I'm going to just go ahead and say, I'll frame this like I want everything to succeed and I want it to be good and I want to love this stuff.
Yeah.
This feels sweaty, this movie, to me. You know what I mean?
Definitely sweaty. I mean, this everyone who's touched this movie is sweaty about this movie. Because, I mean, there's a lot of production badness surrounding this. There's a ton of reshoots. There's a ton of rewriting done. This movie has moved a lot schedule-wise. Valentine's Day for a comic book movie, not the most sick premiere day, I would think.
Could have caused a lot of fights and relationships, you would think, you know?
Yeah, I mean, plus the fact that it's the same Harrison Ford playing the same character from Shrinking is strange for people that are fans of that universe. You have to, and I think you have to have watched Shrinking to get this,
right? Yeah, all seasons, yeah.
Yeah.
All seasons.
All seasons? All two? That's crazy.
All two. I can't also know as both. Yeah.
Yeah, both of them.
But let me say, the trailer, this movie does feel a little different from a look perspective than other Marvel movies. It looks a little bit elevated. It looks better. It looks like the first couple phases where the movies were sort of in a genre. This has sort of the comic book version of like a Tom Clancy movie. So that's maybe cool. Maybe it's cool.
Is that because Harrison Ford is in it? Is that why you say a Tom?
I guess that's part of it, but he's barely in the trailer. I think the look and feel of the trailer does have that.
I don't know what trailer you're talking about. The one we were just watching, Red Hulk, was all over that piece.
Red Hulk was also in The Hunt for Red Hulktober, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited for this movie. It's a weird time to put it out, but I think that... I'll be lined up. You had me at Captain America versus Red Hulk.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. Let's move though to Pete's most hyped comic book thingy of the year: Daredevil: Born Again.
Come on, let's get it,
Mamma Mia. That's a spicy Daredevil.
Remember the Netflix TV shows? Come on.
Yeah. So this is coming out March 4th on Disney Plus. I believe there's 9 episodes, and they've already picked it up for a second season. So that's pretty cool.
Oh wow.
And this also had a lot of behind the scenes stuff going on. Specifically, it got stopped for the strikes. They looked at it, were like, "This is bad."
Like, wait a second, what have we done?
And this basically redid it, and it certainly seems like, from everything we've heard, brought it more in line with the Netflix series, made it essentially a season 4. You got your Karen Page, Deborah Ann Wall is back, Eldon Henson is back as Foggy Nelson.
Come on! I heard that was the tricky part, is they had to shoot around Foggy's schedule. So much Foggy.
Foggy's doing personal appearances at birthday parties.
Yes.
Did you get the clown I asked for, Mom? Nope, I've got Foggy.
Sick. Avocados at law? Cool, man. Vincent D'Onofrio is back as Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, picking up off of his appearance in Echo. Now he is running for and or mayor of New York City per the Mayor Fisk storyline. And also we're getting John Bernthal back as Punisher among many, many other actors.
Yeah.
Pete, including all of the stuff that I just said, but why is this your most hyped thing of the year?
Great casting. I'm excited to see what storylines we're going to do next. I loved the show when it was on Netflix, so I'm excited for more. It's a fantastic Fisk. I love this Fisk. It's a really well
done. It's almost an Iron Fisk.
Nope. You know? I wouldn't say that. Nope. No,
I believe he's going by Thick Wilson in this.
Yeah, give me some more of that Thick Wilson. Yeah, this is a great, great casting. A lot of amazing actors. So I'm excited to see more of what we're going to get in this new iteration.
This has to succeed, I feel like. So I think the fact that Marvel has invested so much time and money in doing this,
redoing it,
and then giving it a second season does feel like they've put the story resources into having these scripts be good and this be ready to succeed. It's just the sort of parts they're gathering here from She-Hulk, Echo, the previous Daredevil Netflix show are seen by many as like, that didn't quite nail it. So I that's a like making something beautiful out of slightly dented parts is always a little tricky, but they need this to work.
I think all they need to do, and I do actually kind of say this dismissively, and I'm sorry to anybody, but all they need to do is deliver basically another season of the Netflix series, and people will be like, cool, yeah, I love it. That's not what I want, personally, because I was sporadically okay with the Netflix series. Yeah. I was not a super fan, though I do think Charlie Cox is good in the role. The action was good. John Bernthal, perfection as the Punisher.
I mean, the actors certainly love playing the roles here, to the point where it's like, yo, John Bernthal and Vincent D'Onofrio, chill. Like, yo, a little less.
Why are you mad that they're passionate about the projects they're involved in, bro?
That because like it does something to the product to me, and we've seen them be so hype on every iteration of this that it's like this one needs to be literally born again. It can't. I think, contrary to Alex's point, it can't just be a season 4. It has to plus up a little bit in some department. Like, it can't just be hallway fights.
Come on, dude. That was my favorite part. Is the hallway 100%. Fights.
you want to see another exact, like they did that hallway fight many times, and it was
Let's
cool.
see more of it.
And
Let's,
Charlie Cox is whole actually legitimately
of one. It's one 100%.
They're 100% going to do a hallway fight.
This is, I know they're going to do it, but it can't just be that.
Think
it
about
has
it,
to
Justin.
Be a,
instead of one shot, they're going to do a whole season that's one shot. I mean, think about the fight sequences. Come on, dude. It's going to be glorious.
So sorry.
They
messed
up
episodes
stop
because
our, yeah. Yeah.
They're going to do it weekly between episodes. Is he just kind of like standing there? It's like a loading screen.
Yeah,
it's still rolling. It's like a character selection scene on a fight.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the director is going to come on and be like, hey, just so you know, we didn't cut. They're still rolling.
And if it takes too long between commercial, rolling. The character like looks at their watch.
Every once
like,
in a while,
an
assistant comes in, feeds him some soup.
Yeah, exactly. More soup, says John Bernthal. I love this soup. I love this roll.
We'll see if it's good soup or bad soup. Why don't we move on to another one? This is a very vague premiere date, but coming up in spring, we've got Walking Dead Dead City Season 2. This, I know you guys aren't quite...
Wait, it's called Dead City, so it's not about the humans, just about the city? It's just about erosion?
Yeah, it's Dead City like Dog City. You guys know the show.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to elaborate on that. Anyway, I'm pretty hyped for this. I really liked the beginning of Walking Dead, Dead City, and then it meandered a bit by the end. But we've got Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan. We've got Lauren Cohen as Maggie. They're in a post-apocalyptic New York City. And the thing that I'm excited about is Jeffrey Dean Morgan is back, sort of drawn back into being the classic Negan with the bat and the leather jacket that he's been away from for years. Is conflicted about it. Meanwhile, Maggie is dealing with her son, maybe working with the bad guys. So cool. And, you know, these are like very quick hit, 6-episode things. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, it's over pretty soon. But I'm a sucker for this stuff. And I just will mention, we don't know when it's coming up, but Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon is coming back for season 3 sometime in 2025. And I thought the second season of that was great. Like, really Same. A lot of fun. So I'm pretty hyped for that.
I think they've really landed on a format that allows them to refresh these ideas and characters in between seasons so it doesn't have... Because the thing that got me out on Walking Dead, the original series, was it started to feel like an absolute slog. Mm-hmm. It didn't help that was a lot of the storylines were like, this sucks, our life sucks. And then the stories were about just a series of bad things happening to them. Bummer. But the way that they've been able to sort of restart, keep these bite-sized seasons, I think is really working. And I've been entering. I've watched all of the Daryl stuff. And, like, I'm hitting a new renaissance with my enjoyment
of
The Walking
Dead. Wow, look at
you. Stuff.
All right, there we go.
That's awesome.
So I'm hype.
But enough of that. Let's get back to the MCU and talk about the next big movie that is coming out in 2025. It is Thunderbolts, and it's coming out Woo-hoo! On May 2nd. This is one that's been in development for a while. We don't know a ton about the actual plot, but we do know we've got Florence Pugh coming back as Yelena Belova. We've got David Harbour coming back as Red Guardian. We've also got Ghost, Taskmaster, Bucky, and a U.S. agent, John Walker, is back. Yeah. And also we're meeting Lewis Pullman, who is playing a character called Bob that, come on, everybody knows is actually the Sentry. There's a lot of rumors about the plot, but that's kind of all we know, at least in terms of the trailers. So there's sort of like a black ops team in the MCU working for Valentina, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
How are you guys feeling about this? You psyched for this?
Pete? I am. Yeah, I feel like the trailer really kind of blew me away. I'm excited for this. I think that, you know, the White Widow and the Red, what's his face, are great.
Guardian.
Red Guardian.
You love colors. You love colors, man.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, I just think it's, you know, Grey Hulk, great comic. I do like colors. Anyways, yeah, I just think,
like colors, quotable quote from Comic Book Club.
Yeah. So I don't know. Interesting cast, interesting idea. I don't know how it's going to be executed. I know our buddy Langston loves Taskmaster, one of his favorites. So I'll be interested to see how they use Taskmaster. So I don't know. This has the possibility to be awesome.
I mean, if this movie is fun, this is another one that I think has had has a little bit of like a stink on it, Marvel stink. But if this movie's fun, I think this movie wins.
I don't know what you mean by Marvel stink.
Well, just Marvel has hit not tough times financially necessarily, because like Deadpool and Wolverine was $1 billion success, but there's certainly questions about the future of the MCU. And this
is literally
one,
the opposite. I feel like it's tough times creatively, and they are, this feels like the last thing they were doing when they were like in the rut. So it could be, this is their great step out.
Yeah. Okay. I like the trailer a lot, to your point, Pete. I thought this was a lot of fun. I do like this cast a lot. The action looks really good, yeah, and that's kind of what you need here. And I like the idea of a bunch of not even superheroes, but super-powered assassin-type people who are all kind of bummed out about their lives, having to figure out how to work together. I would like to know more about the plot so I can get into it. Is it just protect Bob, and then Bob turns into Sentry and turns on them, or what's going on? There's also a lot of very similar powers here, which is just they all kill people. That's pretty much it. But it also, it looks good, like the point you were making earlier, Justin. Visually, it looks neat. And of course, there's the big question about the asterisk at the end of the title that I think we all know is going to be New Avengers or Dark Avengers or something like that. But should be fun. I guess we'll
see. Mean, if this has the, to use the genrefication that Marvel sort of made its bones on in the initial iteration of the MCU, if this has the feel of like Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, where it's like down and out people who are like, I don't know, I guess I'll fight this fight. That's awesome. Like that, if they can hit that tone, I think this wins, where it's fun with great action and we just ride.
That's like hopefully somebody loses their shoes and has to jump over a glass. You know what I mean?
The
like
most important part of Die Hard is the shoelessness. Die Hard, as I've always said, is a shoeless movie.
All right. Well, I know it sounds like we're being very down on the MCU here. And I guess
real quick on that. I'm not down on it. I feel like it's looking around and assessing where we are and finding the hopeful parts. And I have hope for both of these movies we've talked about.
Yeah. But I use that as a frame to talk about the next thing that's coming out, which is on June 24th on Disney Plus. We're going to get Ironheart is hitting. And this is one, this is the longest in development thing. This was announced, I believe, in 2019, pre-Black Panther Wakanda Forever. It was shot back in 2022. And obviously, a lot of stuff has happened in the intervening time. It is finally hitting your TV screens. It stars Dominic Thorne as Riri Williams. She is going up against Anthony Ramos, who is playing the demonically powered The Hood. There's a lot of other rumors about this show, including who Sacha Baron Cohen might be playing in here. Mephisto. But I guess we'll see what happens. Pete, did that just kill all of your hype for the show?
Yeah, don't fucking ever whisper that in a microphone, you creepy son of a bitch.
Mephisto.
You've opened the door to a lot of Mephisto whispers going forward in your life.
I hate it so much. This also could be great. The story of Riri Williams is a good one. If done well, if we have some fun with this, you know, this could be a great story. The Hood, not one of my favorite villains, but also he's been a badass in some stories. So I don't know, this could be cool. This could be something that just quietly kicks ass for a little bit and then we get some momentum. I don't know, but, I'm excited for this. This could be a sleeper one. This could be good.
That's a good way to look at it. It could be a sleeper because the fact that this has been on a shelf for, say, 2 years, year and a half, is strange to me. Because if you're, to use a baseball analogy, you don't keep your, like, home run hitter just on the shelf while you're running through the batting order over and over again. You throw it out there to hit that home run. So I hope this is good, but it's just strange to me, the production process that has landed us here. I don't know why they've just not released this into the wild if it's great.
Yeah, that's my worry as well. I really do want this to work because, you know, referencing the What If episode that focused on Riri Williams, Dominic Thorne was great in that.
He's good.
That definitely made me more hyped for this, but I don't know why they held this so long. It seems like
Well, maybe they just were looking for maybe a lull in the schedule and wanted a banger in the lull, you know, because if we're talking about baseball analogies, you know, your home run hitter, if you use them too much, could get hurt. You know, you want to save some players and, you know, use them in some key moments in the game. So I just think that, like, maybe they were waiting for some other stuff. And then after Deadpool Wolverine, be like, all right, let's kind of get the momentum going again.
100%. Like, if I'm being, my blood is slowly being sucked out of my body from a vampire, I wait with that wooden stake until the last
possible moment.
You keep sucking, you vampire. Yeah, I've got this stake right here, and I'm going to hit you right in the iron heart with it. Any minute now is iron heart time.
All right, why don't we kick off talking about the big showdown of the summer and probably the year, and certainly from the comic book fan perspective, everybody's looking at this. First out of the gate, the official live-action kickoff of the DCU, Superman, is hitting on July 11th. This is written and directed by James Gunn, stars David Corenswet as Superman, Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane, and Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor. We got a lot of superheroes showing up here. Justin, curious to hear from you, because I know you were waffling between this and the next movie we're going to talk about,
Justin,
as you most
like
typed.
Waffles.
So what are you thinking about this?
I'm super psyched for this. This feels, like we were talking about earlier with the Spider-Man series, it feels like this is a very deliberate look and feel just based on the trailer. That's exciting. We're dropping stuff that has no business. If you're just trying to reboot this for rebirth's sake, you don't feature Crypto in your main first trailer drop and all the other sort of stranger DC characters that are in here, Metamorpho, Mr. Terrific, these folks that aren't huge fan service characters. They're there for a reason, it feels like. And that's, again, like, it feels like leading with good creative is what James Gunn has been saying from the jump. This is his first big statement. I gotta think he's gonna back it up. And this trailer has got me psyched for it. Definitely looking forward to this. Top two.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't looking forward to this, but the trailer, if I'm being honest, the trailer got me hyped.
Weren't looking forward to this, you said.
I was not.
You don't want them to reboot Superman again. You're tired of seeing Superman. You said that the other day.
Well, yeah, I just feel like we've seen a lot of Superman origin stories. We've seen a lot of takes on Superman, so... I was thinking, like, point the camera somewhere else in DC. They have so many amazing characters. So I wasn't looking forward to this, but the trailer got me hyped. They're making some interesting choices here. So, yeah, I'll be this will be hopefully a nice surprise. But I don't know. We'll see.
I'm pretty hyped for this. I think James Gunn has a really ridiculously solid track record at this point. He knows how important it is. It's atypical material for him is the thing that makes it interesting, but they know how much they need to get Superman right. The entire DC Studios, DCU is relying on this to perform. Warner Brothers Discovery is relying on this to perform. If it doesn't work, that's kind of it for their 10-year plan for the most part. It's stumbling right out of the gate. So they have to get it right. They have to.
I'm on board, too, because I've invested heavily into dog capes. So if this doesn't work,
dude,
you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're
So I hope the crypto hype is real. Yeah, but just think of the source
capes
material.
Are going to sell like crazy after this, bro.
Exactly. Every dog will dream of flying. Yeah. Think of the source material is All-Star Superman. It's one of the best comic books in
Go to JustinTylerCapes.com and get yourself a crypto cape.
Yeah. And it's like a crypto. It's like a cryptocurrency.
Yeah, but in capes. You know what I mean? Capes are the future, and they are going to be considered money. Yeah.
Let's turn to the other half of the showdown. 2 weeks later from Marvel is the Fantastic Four First Steps. And versus the full trailer we've gotten for Superman, we haven't really gotten much on Fantastic Four as of yet. This is, per the name, the fourth time we've seen an on-screen iteration of Fantastic Four. So again, it feels like there's a lot hanging on this in terms of the MCU. These characters are going to be coming back in Secret Wars, in Doomsday, not in that order. So lots going on there. We've got our classic characters. We've got Ralph Ineson as Galactus. We've got John Malkovich is doing something in the cast. Natasha Lyonne is in the cast. Paul Walter Hauser, some other folks. Justin, this was your
this
most
This is what I'm hyped about. Yes. Because this here's the thing. This is it. We've talked ad nauseum about how Superman is the big statement from DC. It's opening the door to their future for the next 10 years. Fantastic Four is sort of that for Marvel as well. It's just not being referenced as such because Marvel has been sort of constant in their output. But this is their first sort of big swing out of all the stuff they had set up previously. This is after they were like, oh no, we've made too many things that have failed. We need to make things to succeed. This feels like the first thing coming out of that change, hopefully moving into the creative first idea. The cast is great. I love that this is a period piece. I think if they can capture the tone that no other Fantastic Four project has been able to capture, this will prove why the Fantastic Four is what kicked off the Marvel Age of Comics at the movie screen.
Wow. Pete, if you didn't want Superman rebooted, how are you feeling about Fantastic Four?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Fantastic Four. I've never liked
Do you like anything? Do you like comic books?
I like Grimm. He's fun. Ben Grimm is my guy.
I like Grimm.
I like Ben Grimm. He's my guy. It's clobbering time. I roll with him.
In this.
Real quick.
He's in this movie. Yeah, you're going to love it.
He's one of the
he's
four.
In it. He's one of the four main characters.
Yeah.
He's no 25%.
Michael Chiklis. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about he's being played by... He's being played by Eben Moss Backrack, who is also Microchip in the first season of Punisher. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, my head's about to explode with that information. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, a period piece is a fun idea for this. You know what I mean? Take it back, you know, have some fun with that. I think, you know, Marvel does smartly make comedic choices when it's the right time. So if they do this right, it could be a big hit. But it's a big if for me because I've seen a lot of versions of Fantastic Four and they haven't all been great. So this is a gamble.
There's no more obvious take from someone that said he hates machines than to be pro Chiklis. So shouts to you for just filling out the form.
I'm pretty excited about this. You know, there's no official footage, but there is footage that they showed off at San Diego that maybe you could find online somewhere. I don't know. And if they do stick to the 60s aesthetic that they're going for the whole movie, which is maybe, I'm not sure if they will do that, but that's pretty neat. I like the retro future thing. Like you said, Justin, Ralph Ineson as Galactus, that's great. Julia Garner as Silver Surfer. They're making some weird big swings here.
And that's the wildest choice in there. And that's like, cool. Let's go. Let's do that.
It's, if you're going to do the fourth take on Fantastic Four, go big or go home. And that seems like what they're doing here. So we'll see. Next up on August 6th on Disney Plus, a four-part Eyes of Wakanda animated series. This is produced and co-created, I believe, by Ryan Coogler. And
the Coogs
shows a, not the Dora Milaje, but another team, I guess you would call it, out of Wakanda, that if vibranium is stolen or taken in any way, they go back in the world and take it back. And I believe it's showing them in different time periods throughout Wakandan history. So this seems like a very unique, interesting project, and it has been in development for a while. But here, that's where I sort of feel is a strength, because Coogler seems to have such a focus on Wakanda and Wakandan history. We also know now that they're going to be making a Black Panther 3. That's something they're working on. So curious to see how this falls in there. But it seems like a unique, interesting animated project. The only bummer to me is that it's four episodes that they're probably all dropping in the same day.
See, here's the thing. I think that's a strength. That feels, again, like a choice that was like, you know what? We have four. We want to tell these four stories. It does feel like it's less of a narrative. Maybe there's a light arc to it, but it feels like it is going to be like four separate stories featuring the same or similar characters. That sounds cool to me. That sounds like a very deliberate choice in a creative-led project.
Ryan Coogler is a fantastic director. He has a lot of great ideas and executes them well. I am a softie for a great animation, or so I feel like there's so much you can do in the world of Wakanda. So this could be a fun, interesting take on things. And yeah, I love the idea of just like, let's see some different characters. Let's see some other things. So yeah, why not? This could be cool.
And setting up the mouth, ears, nose of Wakanda.
Yeah, well, we are getting somewhere in the show an Iron Fist. Not Danny Rand, not Khalid Wing, but an Iron Fist somewhere there. So there you go, another body part. Speaking of body parts and littering them everywhere, next up, it's Peacemaker Season 2 is coming out in August. There was a teeny tiny little bit of footage that got showed off at a coming up this year from HBO and Max type thing, which reunites the whole cast with John Cena. This is canonical to the DCU, except for the last scene at the end of Peacemaker. I won't spoil what that is if you haven't watched it, but it doesn't matter anymore. So there you go. I'm pretty hyped for this. I like the first season of Peacemaker. John Cena, very fun actor, fun cast. Curious to see what direction they're going to take this in now that it is in the DCU and how it will connect to the overarching story, if at all. Pete, I know you're a fan as well, so what are you looking forward to with this
one? I'm looking forward to seeing what the opening number sequence is going to be, because that title sequence, that dance sequence was a blast and hilarious, and I never got tired of it. So yeah, this is just such a great team. Fun. The first season of this was an absolute blast. So yeah, let's fire this back up again, because this is good times.
Alex, you were talking about how James Gunn doing Superman was a departure. And I think that's right, but I think he's capable of doing that. Peacemaker season two is where James Gunn goes to just kick back and gun it up. And I think he's going to be, not at all phoning it in. But like, when you're doing something, if you're doing a big creative project, whatever, big hard job, you always want to come back home, kick open the cooler, and drink a big old swat of Peacemaker. And that's what you're getting here from season two, I think, is just Peacemaker being Peacemaker. It's going to be just a slightly more heightened version of what we got in season one, is my prediction.
Then we've got some more vaguely dated things coming in October in spooky season. Another four-part animated series from Marvel, Marvel Zombies. If you're bummed that What If is over, great news. This is four episodes spinning out of the Marvel Zombies episode of What If that was in season one, I want to say. Could be wrong about that. Yeah. And it has all your regular MCU cast members, but reportedly, the main cast member is Iman Vellani, as Miss Marvel is going to be sort of anchoring the four-part story here. What do you guys think? Are you excited for more zombie action?
Is this animated? Is this live action?
This is an animated series spinning out of What If.
So you're saying it's animated?
It is animated.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Spinning out of machines.
Did I mention
that? By machines.
Machines made it.
Oh, man.
But they've been bitten by zombies. They're zombie machines, Pete. Your worst nightmare.
Right, but they come to your house and perform it for you.
Well, what I was getting at is, if it's live action, I'd probably be too scared to watch this, but I'm glad that it's going to be animated, because...
No, it's dead action, blah.
the comic was such a blast and such a good time that I'm excited to see what they're going to do with this. I hope that it's just as much fun as the comic was.
I'm psyched for this. I mean, I will say the Marvel Zombies episode of What If wasn't as fun as the comic Marvel Zombies, but it was still fun. And I'm on the zombie kick right now. I don't know if it'll last another 9 months, but I'll give it a shot.
And last, coming in hot in December.
But least is what you meant to say.
But not least is, because it is my most hyped thing of the year. I'm pretty excited for this.
You have
this.
A beautiful track record.
I do.
Yeah. Based on what we
am I, zero for zero at this point? Is that a zero for one?
I think one. You can count Joker 2 as one.
No, it's zero. Is Wonder Man is coming at the end of the year from Marvel. I believe this is under the Marvel Spotlight banner that they have been using just so much. All the time, nonstop.
Another Echo, Spotlight project.
Wonder Man. Anyway, this is Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, who is great at everything, is playing Simon Williams, a.k.a. Wonder Man. I believe he is a super-powered stuntman who is trying out for the part of a lifetime was the part of Wonder Man in the new TV show Wonder Man.
And ooh, this acting, got meta fast,
it
bro.
Got meta fast. It's coming from Daniel Destin Cretton, who directed Shang-Chi. He co-developed the show as well. And Ben Kingsley is coming back as Trevor Slattery, a.k.a. the Mandarin from Iron Man 3 and from Shang-Chi as well. Ed Harris is in the cast, and I'm forgetting, I think it's Demetrius Gross is playing Grim Reaper, Eric Williams, his brother.
Wow.
He's great as well. So it's a great cast. It's a wild meta premise. And if it could go horribly wrong, exactly like Joker 2, but if they nail it and make it a really good Hollywood satire set in the MCU, I think that could be a lot of fun.
I think that's a fun pull quote. This is exactly like Joker 2. That's
what you said.
Has exactly what colors.
It has colors. The thing, I'm curious, have you guys been watching the franchise?
Yes.
No.
This feels like it could be sort of in that neighborhood. I've been enjoying the franchise as it's been coming out. Nice, hard comedy about this world. This feels like it's going to be in the same lane. It's coming a year from now, essentially. So I think there'll be time to refresh our interest in this type of satire. But again, you know, She-Hulk, we were looking forward to that a lot. We didn't know if it was going to be fun. It wasn't as fun comedically as we wanted. There's some good parts to it, obviously. But I think if this can be funny, we will be much happier.
And there you go. That's all the dated stuff that is coming out this year. But there are a lot of other things that I will mention. So let's touch on them briefly. These are ones that we believe are coming out in 2025, but have no date at the moment. First up, Sandman Season 2 is coming to Netflix.
JT says, get more fired up than that, bro.
Well, so here's the thing about that. I'll just present this for anybody who doesn't know, but first season did pretty solidly on Netflix. Between the first season and the second season, and I believe after they finished filming the second season, Neil Gaiman was hit with a bunch of very credible sexual harassment and abuse allegations. Pretty reported by surprisingly not that many outlets in a weird way. But by the time they were putting out a behind-the-scenes reel of the making of Sandman Season 2 during Netflix's Geeked Week, Neil Gaiman wasn't in there anywhere. So that certainly mars a lot of my interest going into Season 2. Justin, how are you feeling about it?
I mean, it's tough. Like, and, you know, there hasn't been much talk about the, it's just, it has sort of vanished a bit. So I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to be super excited about it from where we are right now, I guess.
Yeah. Another one that is hard to think about, I would say, from a very different reason that we do know is coming out sometime this year, is Gen V Season 2. And that's the spinoff of The Boys that's set at college. We really like the first season of that. Between the first season and the second season, I believe when they were getting ready to shoot the second season, horribly, actor Chance Perdomo died in a motorcycle crash. They rewrote the season, incorporated his passing into the season, so that's going to play in some way. And I'll tell you, like, I like the show. I like that it's a spinoff of The Boys, but that's something that, like, makes my gut cinch up when I think about getting closer to watching that.
Well, but I do think I really liked season one. I think the most recent season of The Boys is just firing on all cylinders. These shows only feel like they're getting closer together from their storytelling perspective. So, you know, it's tragedy aside, I feel like this creative team can find a way to take that pain that everyone's feeling, that fans are feeling with Chance's death, and spin it into the show in a way that lets it be a part of it and helps some catharsis with dealing with the reality of it while letting that roll into the show and not by any means taking advantage of the death for the show, but just using what happened to make something out of it.
That would be amazing if they could do that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it's really tricky to hit those things, but I guess we'll see what happens. And there is one last one that we know is coming out in 2025 is Revival, an adaptation of the Tim Seeley, Mike Norton comic book.
Come on, Tim Seeley.
That came out from Image Comics. It is coming to Sci-Fi at a date TBA. Melanie Scrofano from Winona Earp stars in the show, among other people. And it takes place in a town in Wisconsin where I believe, if I got the dates correct, on January 2nd, bunch of people die, as they normally do in any small town or anywhere. People die. I don't know.
People die. Yeah.
Wait. What? Alex, slow down, Joker 2, and tell us what you're talking about. People die in small towns because they're in small towns?
Just in general, everywhere, all
that's
the time.
I live in a city because I'm afraid of this death.
Yeah, exactly.
One in three explain. Podcast hosts die on the podcast.
Oh, boy.
Dibs.
Wow.
Dibs?
We'll have a good job incorporating that death.
Anyway, they die on January 2nd, and then everybody who died on January 2nd comes back to life on January 3rd. There's more of a mystery there. Seems tailor-made for a TV show. Very excited that this is getting done. Yes. It's a great book. Should be cool.
Very excited for this as well.
And we have a couple of others that may or may not come out, but I'll just mention them here. We don't have dates for them. We don't even know if they're coming out in 2025. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. There are 10 episodes that are sitting on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah, these are done.
These are done. There was one that was pretty controversial, not on their end, but because it has a trans athlete storyline. And reportedly, Disney was like, we're not showing that anywhere. You can find that one online because people keep uploading it whenever Disney takes it down. But the show has gotten multiple Emmy nominations this year, among other awards. I cannot imagine that Disney, it won't show up, like even on Apple TV, paying for episodes or something like that. It's going to show up somewhere at some point. Another one, The Beauty. Another Psyched Image for this. Comics. Very excited this for this is, as well.
This has great potential, I think.
So this takes place. It's from Jeremy Hahn and, oh, God, it's another J name. I'm blanking on it at the moment. Please look it up, Justin. Thank you.
Jen. John.
Nope. Stop. Nope.
Don't guess.
It is about where there's a sexually transmitted disease called The Beauty, and you wake up the next day with your ultimate, most beautiful form, and then some people with The Beauty just kind of start spontaneously combusting, but there's a whole conspiracy element going around it. This comic is awesome. Definitely read it. And the show is coming to FX. Produced and created by Ryan Murphy. It stars Evan Peters, of course, but also Ashton Kutcher, a couple of other very pretty people I'm forgetting the names of, but this also seems tailor-made for TV, and I'm excited for this one, too.
Jason Hurley.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Sorry, Jason. I love this book. Very excited to see this.
Same.
Another one that should be finished shooting in time, but I think it could end up end of the year or in 2026, Spider-Noir, which is part of the Sony Spider-Man universe. This is a live action show, Pete. Live action, so none of that machine drawing.
Starring
Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Spider-Noir. So this is a 1930s Spider-Man noir live action show. It is produced by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who did the Spider-Verse movies, which is where this came from. But it is, I believe, a more serious take than we saw on screen. I'll stop here just because we're getting some reactions.
I mean, we're talking about how the MCU will put stuff on the shelf and be like, what should we do? Should we release this? I don't know. Sony, all their shelves are slanted out. They're ramps.
Yeah.
Everything you
crank
put on the shelf
out,
is
dude.
Like, whoops,
it's
out. Whoops, we released it. This is one of those things where I was like, well, this has no business being. Nicolas Cage, I feel like there's a percentage that changes a little bit over the course of his career of he does one great thing and one not great thing. You can
How
do
dare
the math.
You.
You can do the math.
How where, dare you, sir?
Truly, go and look. You're
Don't
like, that's amazing.
Cage.
That's strange. It's not. It's he makes weird choices that are great. It's great that he does that. It's just some of them don't work. That's cool. It's cool to make mistakes. This could be great. This could be insane. Also, the fact that it's more
it
serious.
It could be both. It could be insane and great.
100%.
Because the cage is involved, so everything is on the table. Yeah, I think this is a fun choice. It was clear that the cage had a ton of fun playing Spider-Noir, so why not lean into it and make it happen? Give the people what they want.
Here's the biggest thing that makes me worried about the show, because I'm into, like, Nicolas Cage taking big swings. Love Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Spider-Man Noir, great setting, very set up for episodic storytelling. They're doing 8 episodes of it. It got a full season green light, so that's all good. It's coming out on MGM Plus, which is a platform that nobody has or knows about.
I've been meaning to get that.
Nothing against From, a show I know a lot of people like, but it's showing up on Prime Video eventually. And to put a Spider-Man live-action TV show and be like, yeah, we're going to throw it on a streaming service that nobody knows, that you have to ask how to get it. That doesn't seem comfortable.
This is unfair, but MGM Plus strikes me as the Werther's Originals of streaming services.
Yeah,
where it's like your grandmother's like, I was watching MGM Plus. I love the Western romances.
I'm
it's
watching
like,
Rogue Heroes on MGM Plus. I'm having a great time.
Oh, I don't know what that is, but that seems like a World War II documentary.
It's about World War II.
It's not a doc. It's a show, and it's supposed to be
based
excellent.
Off of true stuff. Yeah,
based off a war that happened.
Do you have to confirm that you're above a certain age before you're allowed to watch that? Like 65?
Yeah, you do.
At the quiz
they make you take is really.
So like, can you work all the marks?
It's like no.
Can you identify the stick in a hoop game? If so, you're allowed to watch Rogue Heroes.
I love Michael Chiklis. I have MGM Plus. I'm retired.
All right, we got
one last joke. There's a setting on MGM Plus where you can adjust the antenna and the picture changes.
Oh, nice.
You can just let me just fix it.
Oh, that's cool. Interactive rabbit ears. Love it.
I love it.
A couple of other quick things. This is one that I really do hope, talking about things that have been on the shelf for a while. The Old Guard 2 may be coming to Netflix, written by Greg Rucka, based on his comic book. First Old Guard was great, and then for some reason they shot this one again, I believe, back in like 2022 or 2023, and it just has not come out. Apparently they did an additional 2 weeks of shooting back in like October of this year or something, maybe because everybody got older. I don't know. But first one was good. I don't know what's going on with it.
Did it not do as well on Netflix as maybe they wanted it to?
No, it did well.
Did it?
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. Again, the shelf, this is weird that it's on the shelf. Netflix is weird because they just have too much success, money, and stuff. So it may just be literally like, oh, let's wait until we see that slot, like Pete was saying earlier. But it does feel weird to me.
And eventually we're going to get Blade, right? Eventually?
No. Why don't we move on to some other things that we may get? Criminal, the TV show version of Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips' excellent comic book series,
is
being made
that.
For Prime Video. You can listen to our live show with Ed Brubaker, where he talked about that quite a bit.
So cool. Great interview.
Depending on how much editing time, that could come out at the end of the year on Prime Video. Really looking forward to that. I am blanking on everybody who is in the cast, but Ed Brubaker is one of the co-showrunners of it, and it is a great cast, whoever is in it, so that should be pretty cool.
They kept dropping cast over the last, like, 9 months, it feels like. So, like, this feels like something that may want to be, like, in the Emmy race. Like, I feel like this is something that they are going to be targeting the release date to hit that. Hopefully, and that's a squeeze to get it out before the, because the Emmy window is, what, June it ends usually?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make that, but I could see them dropping it very far towards the end of 2025 or early 2026 to keep it fresh.
That's what I mean. It depends on if they don't make this year's Emmy window, they're going to want to find a good spot for the next one. So. Yeah. That could mean it is a little bit later than we think.
Another one I'm psyched for. This is a movie, Four Kids Walk Into a Bank, based on the comic book by Matthew Rosenberg.
Bergie!
And Tyler Boss. And this is about a bunch of kids who get together to rob a bank before one of their criminal father could do it so that he won't get thrown in jail for the rest of his life. Liam Neeson is playing the father. Frankie Shaw is directing from, I believe, a script she co-wrote. It's a great comic, and again, seems tailor-made for a movie, so very excited for them.
So excited this is going to be made, and isn't it almost done? I feel like we've heard a lot of stories from comic creators who've been to set, so they got to be almost done.
They started filming it pretty recently. I think it started filming in, like, November or December or something like that. But this is like the sort of thing that they'll film over a relatively short period of time, edit pretty quickly, and maybe try to submit it out to some festivals or get it out. We'll see, but should be fun. One last one that we were told is going to come out in 2025, but that was back at San Diego Comic-Con, and we haven't heard anything about it since. King Spawn. King Spawn is the new name of the movie that Todd McFarlane has been working on since the first Spawn movie came out, and he hated it. And he's been working on it ever since. They finally have a script that apparently they're happy with. Blumhouse, run by Jason Blum, is shopping around and looking for directors. At least that's what we heard back in July. And again, we haven't heard anything about it since then. So I think we're probably not going to see it in 2025. But are we going to see it in 2026? Or is it going to be another 25 years before we finally get that Spawn movie? Pete?
Well, hopefully it'll be worth the wait, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Great.
Maybe you'll be able to go on life support just to make it to King's
Maybe
Spawn,
you'll be able to watch it on MGM Plus. That would be cool.
Yeah. So that's where the bangers are.
You just said you'll go on life support to make it, meaning you're just going to voluntarily go on life support?
That's right. Yeah.
You're going to start now?
I'll go into a coma. Wake me up when King's Spawn comes.
Yeah. You don't need to sign a DNR. You're fine, sir. You are.
Yeah, you're healthy. You don't need to.
You're the healthiest
that.
Man I've ever seen.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that either.
Yeah, what do you think, Justin? Are we going to see King Spawn ever happen?
I don't know. I don't think so. The person who wants to see this is Todd McFarlane.
Yeah.
I don't know if a lot of fans... I mean, Pete, you're the Spawn fan.
Yeah.
What about this do you want to see?
Well, I'll tell you what. I can understand, you know, what he said about the Spawn movie, although Spawn the Animated Series was phenomenal. So part of me is just like, yo, dude, let's just make another Spawn and make an animated movie if it's, you know, going to keep you happy with the project. Because, I think there's a market for it, and I think people love Spawn. So it's sad that we're not getting any Spawn.
What's the success rate of projects made out of spite?
Pretty good, actually.
I mean, it's funny, Alex, you say that because Joker 2, I think, was made out of spite. So
that brings it all around, I think. Yes. So listen, that is it for our 2025 comic book movie and TV preview. Please let us know if there are comments wherever you're listening to this in the comments, what you are most hyped for. Love to find out what everybody's excited for in the coming year. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about TV and movies. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, I have too many sign-offs for all these shows that we're posting.
Yeah. Happy New Year, folks. My resolutions, as always, are more chickless, fewer machines, and get my grandson to hook up this MGM Plus, because I can't figure the darn thing out.
See you in 25. They sit on crap, they couches and they